Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So every so often, you get the perfect merger where you get to talk baseball but still be able to talk football in the same exact frame of mind, which is always a lot of fun. And then add in analytics in it, and what you have there is a gumbo that is just tasty for everybody. And that's what Michael Bauman did here for his article for The Ringer, of how the Browns and Paul DePodesta brought Moneyball to the NFL. It is the name of the piece. And he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, Michael? How have you been, man?
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying that special Northern Ohio gumbo I cooked up.
I think it's just filled with like pierogies and kielbasa and a hint of sauerkraut. I think that's what you've put together here. It's wonderful.
Love it. Love it.
All right, so This piece rocked. You guys have been doing Browns Week on The Ringer all of last week. What inspired you to put this piece together?
Honestly, I got sucked into an NFL planning meeting for reasons passing understanding, and this was the one thing I thought I could contribute, because Paul DePodesta, you know, obviously is a legendary is probably too strong a word, but like a huge figure in terms of the way baseball has evolved over the past 20 years. And, you know, I'm not an NFL expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought I could, an interest of mine for years now. Is baseball was sort of the first sport to have a quantitative revolution, or an empirical revolution is the way I put it in the story. And every other sport has sort of followed the same evolutionary path as baseball has in this respect. So I was interested to see, you know, if, and baseball writ large has made a lot of mistakes along the way. So I was curious to see if the Browns hiring somebody who has been through this before could help them avoid making a lot of the mistakes that other football teams or hockey teams or basketball teams are going to end up making as they sort of figure out their way through the world of analytics.
Well, and I remember with reading pieces about Aaron Schatz and then others who had done football analytics and that stuff, they always said the hardest thing about it compared to baseball was the fact that I have 11 variables that all have to do the right thing at the right time for everything to work. And it's really hard to quantify 11 people needing to do the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, that is the problem. And so, like, baseball, like a lot of the stuff a lot of the breakthroughs that have happened in football and other sports over the past decade, like baseball figured out when, you know, Bill James figured it out on his job as the night watchman in the 70s, you know, working with a pencil and paper. And so the data is just that much easier to figure out how to get in baseball. And so this is not, you know, the questions that Paul DePodesta is particularly able to answer, like, getting the data is one thing, but knowing what to do with it and knowing what questions to ask, I think that's why you go get somebody from another sport. You know, and he's got we had a really good conversation about like what you do and what, you know, what kind of questions you ask and how you apply it and how you, and this is the most important thing. This is the latest breakthrough in baseball, how you get everybody in the organization on the same page in terms of what you know and what you're going to do.
And that's the toughest thing. I mean, even we ran into that with Cleveland here when, you know, they first brought in Paul DePodesta and they brought in Sashi Brown and they brought in Hugh Jackson, and you immediately got this war that was taking place between Hugh Jackson and the analytics department. And, you know, that's where, you know, a lot of this stuff ended up happening. And who's the one that's still standing? Well, it's Paul DePodesta, still putting everything together and at least giving another tool that is inside of the toolbox. And
right. Is
that how he sees it as well, where he just, does he see analytics as the way to do things, or is it just another tool inside the toolbox?
Well, we had a conversation about what the word analytics even means anymore, but that's a different, if anything, but that's a different kettle of fish. The way he put it is like trying to reduce uncertainty to make sure that, and to make sure that the GM and the coaching staff and even all the way down to the players are making decisions based on good information. So, like, at least this is the way he explained it, his job is less to help make those decisions, but to make sure the people who are making those decisions, whether that's who do you take with the number one overall pick or, like, where do I throw this ball right now as the pass rush is going down on me, like, that's those decisions are all based on the best information and, you know, that's the product of asking creative and pertinent questions and, you know, disseminated throughout the organization in digestible, actionable ways.
Makes sense. He is Michael Bauman. He joins us from TheRinger.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael Bauman if you so desire. All right. Let's flip over to baseball. So I got two topics that we can cover in baseball, and I'll let you pick either A or B. We can either talk fashion now or we can talk about actual baseball.
Let's get the fashion out of the way then.
Okay, yeah, what do you think of these player weekend uniforms?
So I gripe constantly about how boring, how conservative baseball is aesthetically. Like, you know, all the new ballparks sort of look like Camden Yards with a couple exceptions. All the uniforms are red, white, blue, and black with a couple exceptions. And so, you know, the classic looks that you really go back to 20, 30, 40 years down the road are, like, hideous at the time. Like, even recently, like, everybody wants the Padres to start wearing brown again. Everybody loves the Astros rainbow throwbacks. And those are, like, out there and ugly. And so my one take that I've got warmed up that I think is going to age well is that, you know, when 30 years from now, if we're still playing baseball, everybody's going to want the Diamondbacks to go back to these dark gray uniforms with the fade pattern at the, you know, the mint green. That's going to be the memorable look. But you don't get that unless you take risks. So I hate these players' weekend uniforms, but I appreciate that Major League Baseball is taking a risk by doing it. And I want them to do more of it. And if you get more misfires like this, and you end up with those classic memorable looks as a byproduct, then that's just a compromise I'm willing to make.
I agree with everything that you said right there, because I was even in the camp, like, the old Marlins uniforms, I loved them. And I'm not talking like the blue ones that they have now, but the one step right before that, when they first built the new stadium. And I loved those uniforms. They were obnoxious. They were eyesores, but I loved them for the fact that they were different. It was just something different. And, like, outside of the Oakland Athletics and a couple other teams I can name off the top of my head, everybody falls into the same patterns and that stuff. And while these are gross, and I loved your tweet where you said they should give these guys markers and let them just draw all over them.
That would be cool.
I
know that reads like a joke. That was not a joke. I was serious about that.
I would have loved that. Either that or I said to the lady friend yesterday, we were sitting and watching baseball, I said, if I was a professional ball player and you made me wear these, I would have tie-dyed my uniform. I would have just stuck it, tie-dyed it, and then I would have wore that. So, take more risks, man. I'm with you.
So maybe this is like the incremental step that gets us to tie-dyed or Sharpie party uniforms for Players Weekend 2020.
Sold. I'm in. All right. What do you think of the Indians coming off of this, that horrible weekend in New York?
I mean, it's a dogfight right now. And, like, this is, we've seen this pendulum swing back and forth so many times just in the past couple weeks that I don't, you know, this is not panic time right now. They're still in a virtual three-way tie for the two wild card spots with Houston and Oakland. They're still within a good weekend of Minnesota for the AL Central. You know, I like their chances to make the playoffs just because they got two cracks at it, and Tampa and Oakland don't, because they're both so far out of the divisional race. But I mean, this is they had that incredible hot stretch that got them all the way back into the race all at once over the course of a couple months. And, that momentum starting to, we talked about analytics, and here I am talking about momentum, but, like, that's starting to wear off. And the party line has always been, wait till we get Carrasco and Kluber back. And you look down the road, and, like, Tampa's got Blake Snell, Yanni Chirinos, and Tyler Glasnow maybe coming back sometime early to middle of the next month if everything goes according to plan. And, like, that's more firepower than Cleveland's got coming back in the rotation, to be totally honest. And so that's, all the plan is, we're into the everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face kind of thing. I think they're really smart at the deadline. They played really good baseball over the past couple months. And now this is just, this is crunch time now. So, we've got 5 or 6 weeks to really see who comes out of this pile. And, we're at a point in the season now where small stuff is going to matter. So, with that said, they didn't really shoot themselves in the foot that bad this weekend. They're still completely in the race. They're still in the virtual tie for the wild card. This is not, panic time by any stretch of the imagination, but we're in the, if they have another one of these weeks, another one of these weekends at the wrong time, then they could be in trouble depending on what Tampa and Oakland do.
How concerned should the Indians fans be over Brad Hand's struggles recently?
It's, I don't know. This is like the one thing you don't want to go wrong. Cause like over a large enough sample, you can get around your relief ace having a dark period. The Edwin Diaz has been much worse than Brad Hand over the course of the season, and the Mets are right in it in the National League wildcard race, for instance. So there are two things about it at this point in the season. One, we're in a small, there are few enough games left now where one or two bad games out of the bullpen can really blow it for you. And two, that's like the worst way to lose. So if you lead the entire game, and just your relief ace coughs it up at the last moment, like you end up feeling like all those good things you did for the first 7 or 8 innings don't matter. And that's just a huge blow to morale. So, I don't know. They've got other solid bullpen arms. It's not like he's the only guy back there, but you don't want to be second guessing whether you can, like, the reason you trade as much as they did to get Brad Hand is so you can give him the ball and forget about it. And if you can't do that, that's going to be a huge headache for Terry Francona.
He is Michael Bauman. He joins us from theringer.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael Bauman. He wrote a killer piece all about analytics and Paul DePodesta's impact on not only the Browns, but on the NFL as well. Thank you so much for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Oh, and listen to the MLB, the Ringer MLB show. Yes, listen to that. That's a must listen. That's a must listen. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you.
Take it easy. He is Michael Bauman. We appreciate him joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.